Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, today's topic, I hope this is not the first time you, because the topic that I'm going to preach on, that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to preach on, is not a, it's a topic that's always around this time of the year, and you kind of know where I'm going to go with this. It's heatedly debated. I don't know why it's so heated debate. It really just blows my mind, because that's how Satan operates. The topic I'm going to talk about is so clearly a topic that we should be aware of. We should know where we stand through God's word. Now, here's the part that kind of just drives me crazy, guys, is I always ask somebody, show me in God's word. It's amazing how many cannot. They have their personal opinions on it, but they can't go to God's word to prove what they're saying. That's the key. God's word is the ultimate authority. So if this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, it's going to be a controversial sermon. Most of you guys have been listening for a while. You guys already know where I'm going to go with this. But if you're new to this, I want to encourage you. There's other sermons on this website. There's a few Bible studies on this website. I'm working on the format on the next one. I've been working on that, been praying on that. So I'm just kind of looking at what God's wanting that to transpire into. I post devotionals every a few devotionals every week, 1, 2, 3. Just as the Holy Spirit leads me through the week to post a devotional on this. And there's, you know, more sermons on here. So this is not the only sermon here. This website's been up and live for about 3-4 years, so there's probably 200 sermons on this website. But first, let's pray. Let's pray that God just moves as He sees fit on this topic. And that if you're new, that you just have an open mind about what we're about to talk about. Because I am definitely pushing against the grind, the popular mainstream Christianity that is not really true Christianity. If I have to really put it down, it's not true Christianity. It's mainstream. Is more progressive in nature, meaning they don't care about what God's words say. They're more centered on their opinions, and they pick and choose scripture to make their point, and that is not the way we are supposed to handle God's word. So let's pray, and we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today in your presence, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray that you just, God, as you see fit, Holy Spirit, move as you need, Lord, over my voice, over my heart, and to those that are listening. God, I pray, Lord, those that may be listening to this in the future, God, Lord, that you open their ears to the message that you have laid on my heart. This affects their heart. Maybe some of the stuff they have heard in the past, that they will, through the Holy Spirit, they will re-examine it. They will examine it, God. Because it can be tough. It can be challenging. Because of all the perversion that's going on today, I'll look across and I just, my heart cries out, come soon, God, come soon. Come and write, because this apostasy that's spreading breaks my heart. The many that are deceived, that think they are children of God because they hold on to a man's thought and not God's word. Lord God, we know that you can break through all of it, and we pray for their souls. For we not want to see one of them to perish and go to hell. God, lift them up to you right now. You know who they are. You know all the people being affected. We know that the power of the gospel, the light, can burst through all the false teaching that's going on. We know that a scripture, just quoted can have such a powerful effect if they cling to it, they think about it. The Holy Spirit is ultimately the power of light that can burst the chains of darkness and shatter it to a million pieces. For I know in my life, darkness had me gripped, chains wrapped around me so deep I could barely breathe. But your light came and burst those chains into asunder and released my heart from the grips of satanic and demonic oppression, even possibly possession on some points in my life, God. And thank you for your glorious light and opening my eyes. And my goal is that I pray that your voice is heard, not mine, that will reach those that are in darkness, don't even realize they're there, to the glorious light of the gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. My friend, this is the time of the year. October is almost gone, but this is a time of the year, fall time, right? Time, leaves are falling from the trees and cooler weather. We got pumpkin spice everything, and some of you guys may not care for pumpkin spice, but I love pumpkin spice. I love all pumpkin spice from the candles to the coffee. But this month is a time where many are gearing up and already have in the celebration of the holiday that we call Halloween. And it is a holiday because it's quite celebrated. When I've done my research over the years, and as it stands now, Halloween is second to Christmas. That's how big Halloween is. And I think that's kind of ironic, right? Christmas is light and Halloween is dark. Now I'm going to, before you start wanting to burn me at the stake, which in the end people will hear this message and they already have their mindset, there's nothing I can say, and they've hardened their heart too hard to hear what God is trying to speak into their life right now. But the topic course is on Halloween. I want to tell you, I used to be really big into Halloween. It used to be my favorite holiday of the year. My poor wife, she had to endure that for 12 plus years of our marriage with my overindulgence of this holiday. I started this indulgence as a child up to my teenager years, the darkness. And it just grew deeper and deeper in my heart, the like roots on a wild oak tree. That darkness infected my heart. I love the things of horror and the darkness. I watched every horror movie that you could possibly think of. I used to have over 500 DVDs on horror shows in my collection. I had shirts, hats, collectibles. I was deep into satanic worship. And I want to tell you, I've seen things. I've seen darkness. And I want to tell you, it does exist. A lot of people think it's just harmless fun. I want to tell you, I taste of the darkness. I felt the spirits flowing through me. And preparing messages like this, I can feel the oppression, in the sense that Satan don't want to hear these kind of messages or hear a person preach these kind of messages, because he can feel the threat if only one person listens and repents. That's another one that starts walking in the light for Jesus more, and seek to live a life honoring and holy. We call this sanctification, right? Sanctification is being separate. We are not supposed to be of this world. What we are supposed to be, as Jesus said, separate from this world. If the world hated him, the world will hate us. And that's Jesus saying, guys, not Jonathan Ritter. Study God's word. Let me ask you, how much do you contribute of your day in the studying of God's word? Now, I'm not sitting here trying to be mean and point my finger at it. I'm just saying, it's hard to be discerning of things such as Halloween if you're not studying God's word. How's your prayer life? You might go, well, Jonathan, I only pray maybe 5 minutes a day. How can you truly be discerning of the things of God and topics like Halloween? How can you defend something as that if you're not spiritually sound? Meaning your prayer life and your Bible. See, our prayer life and our Bible studying and studying God's word, that should be priority every day of the week. Not just on Sunday, guys. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We should be in God's word more than anything else. You heard me say this multiple times. If you can do 8 hours at work, you should be able to do 8 hours of you can divide that right in prayer and Bible studying, but you should be at least doing that. Jonathan, that's extreme. Well, we need to attempt to try to do that. If we put 40 hours in work, we need to at least be putting 40 hours in with Jesus, at least studying God's word. Do you do that? I'll tell you, if you're not doing that, you're not going to be very discerning. You're going to let your flesh, Satan, govern your life more than God. But I want to tell you, there's darkness. And I want to tell you, Satan and his demons, they have infiltrated our churches. The roots of darkness, evil, is spread like cancer into the heartbeat of the physical churches. The buildings I'm speaking of and the people in those. There's too much compromising going on. They will not stand up for truth. And when some preacher like me comes and starts preaching about holiness, and went out and scripture says holiness, no one will see God. That holiness means sanctification, meaning we are separate from this world. We are not supposed to be of this world, but separate. They don't want to hear it. At this time, you may say, preacher, man, you got that strong. Why are you saying this? I don't want to hear it. Lord, I pray that you do. We're talking about Halloween. And what I want to present to you today is for you. And the central question here I want to ask you, and you jot this down, and I pray that you explore it on your own. Is celebrating Halloween a celebration of darkness? Is celebrating Halloween a celebration of darkness? Write that down. And that follow-up question I want to follow up with this. If Halloween is darkness, should I, as a child of God, as a child of light, be celebrating this darkness? That are the two questions. And I know this is controversial. And some will automatically, when you hear this, even hear the message, you may tune out. And I pray that you don't. If you do, Satan has deceived your heart. And I pray that you come to the knowledge that he has, and that path that he has you on, will leave you to ultimate destruction. And I know I place the burden, what they say, the burden to prove my original question here. And all I want to do is I want to present you with a case here about celebrating Halloween. Is this celebration darkness? And if this is a celebration of darkness, should you, as a child of God, I pray that you are today, should celebrate this darkness? I want to point you to God's word. We're going to eventually get to some scriptures here. Just wanted to kind of lay the foundation. God's word is the final answer to the question. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not your pastor's opinion, not your preacher's opinion, deacon, bishop, elders, whoever is in your leader. Their opinion does not matter. Here's the thing I want to encourage you. If you go up to your preacher, maybe have a pastor, maybe have a preacher. I don't know how, you know, a lot of churches are struggling that don't have. But the man that's in charge, or even the elders that are in charge, ask them. Is celebrating Halloween a celebration of darkness? And watch how they respond. Do they go to God's scripture? That's what I want you to look at. Immediately when I get questions, I want to pull to God's word as the final authority. If you see they don't even want to go to God's word, even ask them, can you show me in God's word where it would be okay to celebrate Halloween? Or what are the roots of Halloween? Watch them stutter. Watch them. They can't even explain it. I'll tell you, that man should not be in the pulpit if he cannot stand on God's word. That he can't give questions about Halloween and about how I have strong convictions that it's darkness. And before it's over, I hope that you will have strong convictions that this is darkness. And we should not, as children of light, should not be celebrating this darkness in any form or capacity. But I'm going to get to scripture on that. But I want to encourage your preacher. You may have a pastor out there. Ask them. They're there. They are supposed to be the men in charge of your spiritual health that God has placed them. If they can't answer questions, why are they even there? Oh, you like them. They're nice. They don't preach on God's word. They love to let you sin and do the best you can sinning, and they won't call you out on it. Then that is not a man of God. That is a man of Satan. He is in the pulpit. And what really blows my mind is the blood that's on his hands when he dies. Don't think God will not call him out on that. And don't think God is not going to judge him. A man that handles God's word loosely and not with trembling in his heart. Every time I preach, even online or in the pulpit, my heart trembles. My heart beats. It skips a beat because I'm handling God's word. I tremble at a holy God. But we don't see that. They're handling God's word. And I just can't see how that can happen. But when they think they're under the radar. But one day when they see God, God will not reward that behavior. I think of some sad verses within the Bible. And there are when Jesus said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. These people were doing great things for God. He said, I never knew you. He's speaking to those people, healing, casting out demons. You can say they're preaching and people were receiving. But it ain't going to do nothing for them when they die. Because why? Their hearts are so far from God and they will burn in everlasting damnation if they don't repent. Now, going into this topic about the celebration of Halloween, well, I want to mention, when we look at scripture, we don't see the word Halloween. That word Halloween. Within, from Genesis to Revelation, we don't see that word Halloween. Why is that? So when we look at Halloween, we really have to look at, what does it stand for? What does it represent? Is celebrating Halloween centered on darkness? And if Halloween is centered on darkness, then darkness is mentioned all through God's word. We can think of darkness in many ways. We can think of the nighttime. And of course, when we think of the nighttime, we think of the daytime. When nighttime comes, what happens? Darkness, the absence of light false. Of course, you have the stars, you have the moon, but there's a darkness. But when daylight comes, everything lights up. There's a clear distinction between darkness and light. There's a contrast. I know when it's nighttime and we're having a storm here and the electricity goes out, and guess what? The lights go out, the electricity goes out, and we have pitch darkness within our home. I have flashlights. I grab me a flashlight. I immediately get some light, and then I go to our generator and thank God that we have a generator, and I get everything set up and I crank the generator, and it operates our light until we get the electricity back on. But there's a darkness that falls. I clearly can see that aspect of darkness. And that is a physical aspect of darkness. But there, and some of you guys may already recognize, there is also a spiritual aspect of darkness and light. And some of you guys may already thought of this ahead of time. When we look at scripture, we can immediately say God is light, right? Satan is darkness. John 8:12 says, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? I am the light of the world. And he," and quickly, when you see he, this is referring to you and me, humanity, which is how the Greek is kind of written. "He that follow me," that's you and me, "that follow me," that's following Jesus, shall not do what, guys? John 8:12. "We shall not walk in darkness, but we shall have the light of life." Jesus is light. He says, "I am the light of the world here." And you and me that come to Jesus Christ, right, that are following him, does it say we shall walk in darkness? No, it says we shall not walk in darkness, but we shall have the light of life. There's a contrast here. He is the light of the world, meaning the whole world, right? He is the light right now for you. He's the light for me. He's the light for our poor brothers and sisters in Christ and Israel that are suffering with this crazy war that's going on. He's our brother. He is the light of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, China, Germany, Russia, Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine still in war, but that's disappeared, right? All the aftermath over Ukraine, people still suffering. That's just how the news operates, and that's how our memory can forget. We still have brothers and sisters in Ukraine suffering. We need to be in prayer for them. But he is a light for them too. He is the light of the whole world. How he operates, God is so big, I can't even grasp how big and wonderful he is, how his glory is so powerful, and his presence beyond what I can imagine. He is the ultimate nightlight. Jesus Christ is the ultimate nightlight. In him there is no darkness. The glorious light that shines. His presence is all powerful. He knows all. I want to tell you, when I was a child, I was afraid of physical darkness. Once that it was nighttime, it was time for me to go to bed, and I'm laying in my bed, and the lights are turned off, and this physical darkness engulfed my mind, and I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face, and one time I started crying. I need some light, and my mom, she got me this nightlight and placed it in my room because I was afraid of the darkness. I want to tell you today, if you're a child of God and you're following him with everything you got, You don't have to worry about the ultimate darkness. Satan is demons because they are the ultimate night. They are the ultimate darkness. But we have the ultimate light. His name is Jesus Christ. And he seeks what? For us to walk in the light, not darkness. Listen to Acts 26:18, and I try to keep these sermons down to an hour, and it struggles, but I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, but I can promise you, you can keep looking at light and darkness over and over and over. I encourage you to go and look, study, do a word study of light, do a word study of darkness. Get into God's word. Quit depending on men that are already compromising the gospel to tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes and turn them from what? Acts 26:18. From darkness to light. From the what? The power of Satan unto God. That they may receive what? The forgiveness of sins. Inherent among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Oh, Jesus is all over that, right? To open our eyes, guys, and turn from what? Darkness. To what? To the light. And here it talks about the power of Satan. Unto God, there's a contrast. Darkness to light. If you broke this down, you will see that darkness here is equating to Satan. And light is equating to God. And God wants to forgive our sins. And that inheritance that he wants to give us, which are here, that key word here, sanctified by faith. If I ask you, what does it mean to be sanctified by faith? Sanctification means set apart. From what? What is he sanctifying us from? This world. What is he sanctifying from this world? From this darkness. By what? By faith. And we look at faith. Faith is trust in God's word that he will follow through. So we are set apart. We place our faith in his word. And we cling to his word more than anything else. And when we do this, we start walking in the path of light and not in the path of darkness. He is the ultimate light. Just listen to John 3. And let's read 16 to 21. It says, for God so loved the world. And this is one most popular quoted scripture. And a lot of them will drop it at 16. And that's sad because I call the John 3:16 apostasy, because all they preach is John 3:16. And they don't preach the rest of God's word. For they say, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? His only begotten son. That he whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They just want to drop it there and say, no, that's it. That's it. Oh, that's all you have to do. But here in verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? Saved. Verse 18 says, he that believe on him is not condemned. But he that believed not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19 says, and it defines this condemnation. It says that light is come into the world. There's that word, light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus is light. So if Jesus is light, who is this darkness that we are have a natural desire to go to? Satan, his demons. They are evil. So because their deeds were evil, so when we are drawn to the darkness, to be participating in darkness, and it's so easy for us to go in that path, we don't need to be playing around with darkness, guys. It may feel like innocent fun. Oh, it's just dressing up for costumes. I see nothing wrong with dressing up in costumes. Oh, it's just carving a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to get, it's all pointing to darkness, guys. Do you know the history behind the jack-o'-lantern and the costumes that are wore? I encourage you to, we're already at, let's see, 30 minutes. I'm not even going to go into all of that. And I just want to hit, it centers on darkness. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the origins of Halloween and how this is clearly what I'm going to talk about is pointing to darkness. But I want to tell you, we have a natural tendency to go to darkness. So why even entertain it just a little bit? Verse 20 says, "For everyone that do evil hate the light." So everyone that practices evil, this darkness, even if it's one time of the year, hate the light. You're hating Jesus. Now, this is not my opinion. This is God's word. And they neither come to light, lest his deeds, and that is collectively us, is reproved, meaning a repentance, a turning from it. But he that do true comes to the light, and his deeds shall be manifest, that they are wrought from God. There's clearly light and darkness. Now, is Halloween darkness? Have you ever really studied the origins of Halloween? I'm just going to touch a little bit on the origins of Halloween so you can get. I have articles galore. I have research stuff on this, and I can send them all to you if you need me to. But then again, you might already shut the door and say, "I ain't hearing this anymore," and God help your soul, because everlasting damnation waits for you, for you don't want to hear the truth, and you prefer men to lie to you. But when we look at Halloween, it comes from the ancient Celtic. Now I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing these words. I knew I would. Celtic. C-E-L-T-I-C. I don't know. They would have what they would call fire festivals called Samhain. Or S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Samhain. This word Samhain or Samhain, which I'm probably not pronouncing right. If you're looking at the Irish English Dictionary that was published by the Irish Texas Society, they define this word as All Hallowtide. That was a feast that could be viewed as a big, it can be viewed as a big party. That's my wording I'm putting there. But this feast centered on the closing of the harvest, a gathering of food and people to celebrate the closing and the beginning of winter season. Within this festival, they would believe that the fairies, and if you know what fairies are, that is, fairies are what they would find as mystical beings of folklore, romantic, using, having magical powers, dwelling on each, in close relationship with humans. So they believe these fairies were more active than normal. They would be celebrating, and they would center around the celebration of the snow goddess, and the snow goddess would have been Philomorphia, but it's F-E-I-L-E, then M-O-I-N-G-F-I-N-N-E. That's the snow goddess they would be celebrating. These Celtics believe that when people died, they went to a land of eternal youth and happiness called Tornah. Ah, that's T-I-R-N-A-R-O-G. They did not have the concept of heaven and hell that Christians later brought into the land. The dead was sometimes believed to be dwelling with these fairies who lived in numerous mounts or proshi. That's S-I-D-E, that was dotted the Irish-Scottish countryside. So when was the mark of the septic ancient of the new year. In that septic belief system, turning points such as time between one day and the next, the meeting the sea and the shore, or the turning of one year into the next were seen as mystical times. The turning of this year was the most potent of these times. This was the time when the veil between the world was at its thinnest, and the living could communicate with their beloved dead. Listen to this, guys. I know I'm butchering these names, and forgive me for that. These are the origins of Halloween. This is common. You can look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. They believed this was a time of the year they could communicate with their dead. I want to tell you today, if you believe that you can communicate with your dead loved ones, you're not communicating with your dead loved ones. They are gone. They are either in heaven or hell. You're communicating with demonic spirits, and you need to stop that. These guys would also practice divination with marriages, weather, and coming fortunes for the year. They would participate in divination activities such as ducking for apples. We call that bobbing for apples and apple peeling. The bobbing for apples, it points to their practice. Listen to this. The ducking for apples, or what we call bobbing for apples, The point was the first person to bite an apple would be the first to get married that year. They were practicing divination, fortune telling. With apple peeling, the longer you unbroke a apple peel, the longer your life was designated, the longer you would live. Crazy, right? In Scotland, people would place stones in ashes of heat before retiring for the night. Anyone whom stones had been disrupted during the night was said to be destined to die during the next year. And these practices are still going on, guys, by today. But these are all origins from Halloween. The pagans today, the Wiccans, they still celebrate this festival. They consider this as a memorial day for their dead friends, similar to a memorial day that we celebrate in May. Now, I don't want you to lose focus on this question. Is celebrating Halloween darkness? Halloween, this is the origins of Halloween, guys. Let me talk a little bit more. On the All Hallows Eve, Halloween, Samhain, I think I said it right that time, once marked the end of grazing, where herbs were collected and separated for slaughtering herds. For farmers, this time in which everything not made use of garden loses its life essential and allowed to rot. Halloween is the origin of the new year, when the wheel of the year finishes. Debts are paid, scores are settled, funeral rites observed, the dead put to rest for the coming winter. On this night, the veil between our world and the spirit world is thin, is compromised, and the dead may return to walk among us. This is Halloween. Halloween is the night to ensure that they have been honored. Their dead loved ones have been honored. They've been fed and satisfied. And that is the best time of the year of gaining this is the best time to have satanic practices, other underworld insights through divination, psychic forecasting, recognizing the unseen world and the and the origins of the person to access it. Meaning we are more acceptable to tap into the darkness during this time of the year, as well as acceptance of dead as a natural, lucid part of life. central to the sacred nature of this holiday. I want to tell you, this holiday is darkness, guys. And I know I've slaughtered these names up here. Yeah, that's why I try to spell them out so you can go back and you can look at them. How they're celebrating the dead. They believe they can communicate to their dead. And a lot of the customs that we do today in Halloween, the wearing of costumes, it points to celebrating the dead. Cutting the jack-o'-lanterns down, the pumpkins, carving them, pointing to celebration of the dead, pointing to the ancient practices that was going on. Today, the Wiccans, the drones, or Druids, celebrate this Halloween, and they are very big on it. That it's like their Christmas, guys. I guarantee you, these Wiccans and these Druids, during Christmas time, they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't want nothing to do with light. So they ain't even bother with Christmas. They don't mess with Christmas because they're dark. Why would we honor their holiday for them? They are satanic. They worship their god of this world, Satan. And when we practice, I don't care if it's just one day of the week or one day of the year, we are practicing darkness. Satan is darkness. I don't want nothing to do with Satan. And God is light, right? And we're supposed to be his light bearers. And what kind of message are we giving our community when we bring in Halloween elements? I know churches around here, they want to change the name of it and call it Fall Fest. And they profess they're taking it back for Jesus. But if you're incorporating Halloween elements into your Fall Fest, Halloween elements, and you guys already know what I'm talking about. You're bringing in your members of your church, your kids, they're dressing up like goblins, ghosts, witches, popular themes, like probably the Barbie movie was so big this year, which on top of that, that's a horrible movie. It downgrades male and female. It destroys the sanctity of marriage. But a lot of people are going to be dressing their kids like Barbie. They're going to be dressing them up like Marvel characters that are clearly, if you look at the Marvel world, is anti-God. They may be dressing them up like Harley Quinn. Batman. Batman's dark. And the list goes on and on. They're bringing in Halloween themes. They're decorating their areas, their churches, with dark colors, black and white, yellow or orange maybe. That's associated with Halloween. It also can be associated with fall, but they will put pumpkins that have been carved. They will put witches' hats or black cats, or you know where I'm getting. They're trying to and trying to make it look innocent. I'm going to tell you, it's not innocent, guys. Just how Satan operates. And the fire back can be, it's only one night. There ain't no problem one night of the year. Come on, what's the harm? Let me put it this way, and I'm pretty direct to the point, and that's why I'm not invited to preach at many churches. Let me take your young child or your children to one night at the strip club. One night. I just want one night of the year. I just want to take them to the strip club. Give them a bunch of ones. Have them put in a woman's G-string. Just one night. It ain't going to be no harm. What would you say? I hope most of you would say no. And then you're like, they ain't the same. Why ain't it the same? That's darkness, right? A woman up there dancing, stripping down naked, demeaning her body. That's darkness, guys. That's filth. But reality is, you're having a one-night stand with Satan in your church. Stop having a one-night stand. Quit trying to justify darkness. And most Satan, they celebrate. This is their Christmas, guys. And guess what? There's no Satanists out there that have thanked the church for at least one night. They celebrate Satan. You're like, oh, we're not celebrating Satan. Indirectly, you are. If you think if I took your child to a strip club and I hand them, I leave a few gospel tracts at the bar, but I let the kids sit there and watch nakedness going on. Oh, you may not like that. That may rattle you hard, but let it rattle you to a point where you recognize that Satan's got you right where he wants you. If you sleep with a prostitute one night and you get an STD, a sexual transmitted disease, guess what? Most of them are with you the rest of your life. It is Halloween. Darkness. Is it a celebration of darkness? I pray that you could say yes. Well, Jonathan, we don't celebrate darkness. We have Fall Fest. Well, I'm for Fall Fest. I'm for celebrating, using, going and having clean fun and celebrating the name of Jesus Christ. But if you're incorporating Halloween themes into your Fall Fest, you ain't having Fall Fest. You're celebrating Halloween. And you want to, guess who else done that? Satan. Genesis 3, right? Modify God's word to fit his deception. That's exactly what you're doing. You're twisting scripture to fit your situation. If you're having Fall Fest and it's focused on Jesus, and you're talking with the kids about Jesus, and you're handing out gospel tracts, and you're even having maybe a singing, you know, local that's praising God, fun games that are reflected on Jesus Christ. There's a ton of games out there that center on Jesus Christ, and you may have a volleyball net set up or a basketball set up, and you're playing with the kids, but you're also ministering them through God's word. There's nothing wrong with having a hayride, but as long as you're ministering, you're giving them kids gospel tracts, and you're giving them a ton of information about Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm for that. I am for the spread of the gospel. But if you're sitting there and bringing in Halloween themes, hoping that you're going to redeem the holiday, you ain't redeeming nothing. And the sad truth is, majority of people within our churches today, they are not even saved. Oh yeah, I went there. They are living in this world. They're conforming to this world. They could care less about walking in the Spirit. They'd rather walk in the flesh. Guess what? When you're entertaining, if you're entertaining Satan at least one night of the week, you're having a one-night stand, he'll come, his demons will come, and guess what? If you're not a child of God, he'll attach to you. And if you're not a child of God, guess what? He'll possess you. And that'll stay with you for the rest of the year or for years. You may be under demonic just one night. You may have opened yourself to demonic oppression for the next year. Be under so much depression, anxiety, where you don't understand what's going on. Confused. This is a serious message, guys. We are not supposed to be children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says you are all the children of light, the children of day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. This is reflecting that if you're a child of light, a child of the day, you will not want nothing to do with the night or darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, he who had delivered us from the power of darkness. There's power of darkness, guys. And he had translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear son. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to tell you, if you are a child of God, you have truly placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you will not want nothing to do with darkness. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them is the same word used in John 3, right? John 3:20. We are supposed to be calling these unfruitful works of darkness. And Halloween is the unfruitful works of darkness, guys. And when you're participating in this, and if you're not even a child of God, and I really want to get here on this. And I'm not questioning if you're not, or but I'll be weary. And I will ask you to examine your salvation, right? Ask what path that you are on. Matthew 7:12-14, what Jesus was saying, I want to tell you, Jesus was intense, he was explicit. I want to tell you today, if Jesus physically was formed, he will walk in majority of churches today, they will kick him out. He don't have to, he sends his messengers, and his messengers are getting kicked out left and right, and they're seeking men that will tickle their ears, that will massage their ears, and they put them in place, and then they're wondering what's going on. They're confused on all the stuff that's happening in their life. I'm going to tell you, because I heap these men that don't tell them to get prepared for the path that they need to be on. They're not prepared. But Jesus says in Matthew 7:12-14, he says, therefore all things, whosoever you would that man shall do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophet. And verse 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there, Jesus says, many there be which go in thereat. Just think about that. There is a straight gate. A wide is this gate. Broad is the way. Meaning there's this gate that you enter that's wide. And this destruction leads to destruction, speaking to hell. And Jesus says, many. I encourage you, go through scripture and look at that word many. Go to Matthew 24 when it speaks of as the days of Noah. Reflect on the days of Noah. How many people were saved? 8. When the judgment of God came. Noah preached righteousness for most scholars, a whole lot smarter than me, for 120 years is put out. Some people may drop that a little bit lower, but he preached a while righteous of God. He preached on sanctification. He preached that we are not supposed to be like this world. And guess what happens? Only his family, 8, were saved. And most put millions were living at the time. And Jesus says, Matthew 24, as the days of Noah, meaning we preach, we put the truth out there. It means many will not receive it. Guess what? Many will not receive this message today. They will take me as a madman. They will reject me as a man of God, even though I'm using scripture here. And I'm trying to warn them to stop doing what they're doing. Quit having a one-night stand with Satan. 8 was saved during Noah's time. Only 8. Many. It's what Jesus is saying. Many here brought is away lead destruction. Many there will be go there. Those that were listening to Noah, many were listening. Only a few received it. 8. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there will find it. Few. I encourage you to go back and look up few. Oh, preacher man, you really getting on my nerves. And a lot of people probably have checked out on this already. And I understand this is a controversial message. And it's an important message, because we are not supposed to be celebrating darkness, guys. And you can study the origins of Halloween. I only touched a little bit on it. I want to ask you today, is celebrating Halloween a celebration of darkness? Closing this out, I want you to ask yourself that. The scriptures I used here today, go back. Write them down. Go through them. Look at the origin of Halloween. And you follow that up. If Halloween is darkness, should I, as a child of God, a child of light, be celebrating this darkness? I believe you, if you are truly a child of God, because I was into Halloween big, guys. I mean, I would decorate like crazy. I would try to get every new horror movie that came out during the year. I would inundate myself with darkness. And Satan had a grip on my life. Darkness is real. I know around this time of the year, I was more accepted to spirits. And I was okay with that. I used to joke and say, I'm okay with going to hell. Satan needs another one to help him out down there. He needs another soldier for his cause. I would say garbage like that, not knowing if I did die, the torment that was waiting for me. Everlasting damnation. So I started studying a lot on Halloween. I started studying a lot on darkness, spiritual warfare. So I really got big into spiritual warfare. I preach on spiritual warfare quite a bit, because we need to understand that we are supposed to be soldiers of light, armor of light. And we should be very discerning of things. We should be able to give a reason. If we're going to say, hey, we're here to redeem Halloween, what do you mean by that? And point to scripture, guys, on that. If you can't provide scripture on what you're doing, stop doing it. Seek the scripture day and night. Why is this so hard? It's because there is such a massive deception within the American churches today. We handle God's word so loosely. The pastors, the elders, the deacons, the spiritual leaders of that church are handling God's word so lightly. I tremble at thinking about it. I can't do that. I can't sit there and mislead people because I don't study God's word. Ask your preacher. Ask him to show you in scripture. And if you don't care about scripture proving something, then there's something wrong with your heart. If you don't care about that, I'm going to tell you, and the Holy Spirit's not convicting you, there is something wrong with your heart. I'm going to tell you immediately, if that's the case, you are on this path of everlasting destruction. And if you die in your sins tonight, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Seek God's word. Look at the scriptures on darkness. Read up on Halloween. Read up on the costumes. Read up on the jack-o'-lanterns. Read up on the candy being given out. Read, study, and then look at it in scripture form. Is Halloween darkness? And I guarantee you will come out and say, yes, celebrating Halloween, any form or fashion, equals darkness. And because I don't want to be a partaker of darkness, I renounce darkness, and I now say I have error, and I understand my way, and now I will stand for God's truth. And his truth is that we are not supposed to be partakers of darkness. We are supposed to be partakers of light. And I can't help but think also of, you know, reading John 3:16 and all the way to 21. That is the gospel message, guys. That is who we are. For God so loved the world, meaning he loved you and me, that he gave who? His begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him, that is faith, shall not perish, meaning that death that we should have when we die, that spiritual death, we will not have that. We will have that everlasting life, that eternal life, meaning when we die, we will not experience that second death, that spiritual death. We will have what we are believing in. We're believing that that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to walk this earth. We believe the crucifixion, the blood that was shed for you and me. Without the shedding of blood, there is what in Hebrews tells us, no remission of sin. Forgiveness of our sin without the shedding of blood. The blood had to be spilled for you and me. The atonement for our sin had to be spilled for you and me. Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice. All that blameless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He came down here to be slaughtered for you and me as that perfect Lamb. And his blood, the atonement, that fall is a sign that we are washed by his blood. And because we are washed by his blood, we recognize he rose from that grave. And we know one day that he's coming back. Oh, I can't wait until that day comes. We know that he rose from the dead. And we know because of that renewing of that we, when we die, he will come. We will be resurrected, right? We, in one fashion or the other, we will be renewed, and we will not experience that spiritual death. He is the resurrection and the life. Praise his holy name. And because of this, we glory in his light. Verse 7 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He died for all. Verse 18, he that believe on him is not condemned. When you believe in the cross, when you believe in the resurrection, you're not condemned. He that believe is not condemned already, because he's he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light, Jesus Christ is light. He came into the world. And what men, us, love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And for everyone that do evil, hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. Verse 21 says, for he that do truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest. They are wroth in God, meaning they point to God. So when we look at this, we look at the resurrection, we look at now that we have accepted, we believe by faith, we have trust in Him, we are in the light. And because we are in the light, we do not glorify in the darkness, meaning God has set us apart. That is sanctification. We are supposed to be new in Christ, guys, meaning we should not be clinging to my old lifestyle. I'm not clinging to my old lifestyle in the celebration of darkness. This is important. We are supposed to be different from this world. And how are we being different from this world when we're glorifying in darkness? When we are celebrating the themes of Halloween and putting them up in our church and saying, oh, we're just using this as a evangelistic. No, you're evangelizing for the devil if you're putting up Halloween themes in your church or even in your home. You're evangelizing for the devil. You're inviting the spirit of demonic to come into your church. And don't think when people in your members, they start falling away, they start moving away. I don't know why. I'm making up a name. Sally, she's been in church since she was 2. And then you've been celebrating Halloween until she's 15. And now she's 18. And she's off in the world doing what God knows what. And you're confused. When will the insanity stop? When were we going to recognize that we have allowed Satan to come into? Maybe Sally, when she was in there, she encountered Satan. And Satan wrapped around her heart. And when she got 15, 16, she was our 12 or 13, she was already rejecting Christ, and she can play this good game because Satan is a deceiver. He can make you think, and then when she's 18, she's over there in the world doing whatever she wants, and we're all scratching our heads trying to figure it out. What is the root of your problem? Your church is the problem. You're celebrating darkness. If it's only one night of the week, you're still inviting Satan into your church. And when he comes into your church, there are people that are possibly not saved in your church that will be oppressed, that even will be possessed, that will be moved to the side for slaughter. And you as a pastor, and you as a preacher, you as a elder, is okay with that. And you're going to look at me, and you're going to thumb your nose up at me. But I'll tell you, when I die, their blood will not be on my hands. The blood that all the people that you preached to over the years, guess what? Their blood will be on your hands, and God have mercy on your soul, because a person that does that is the one that's already apostatized, that's hardened their heart, and if they don't recognize the error of their way and repent at this point, if they're saying this guy is out of his mind, he don't know what he's talking about, we rebuke him. I'm going to tell you, God's going to rebuke you one day, and he's going to send you to the depths of hell because you have allowed Satan to come into your life, into your church, and corrupt your ministry, and you have led many down the path of destruction. Wow, huh? That's intense. But you gotta be direct, because people are just not getting it. Every year I see it over and over. Justification. Churches keep justifying it. These preachers, man, I don't want to be in their shoes when they die. I fit them in the same category as Jesus when he looked at them, the ones that said, Jesus, didn't we cast out demons? Actually, they were doing probably more intense works for God. Didn't we heal the sick? I don't see many preachers in church truly healing people from sickness. Just look at COVID. When COVID rolled around, all your healing ministries, guess what? They closed their doors too. I guess God couldn't heal COVID. Sad, the deception. But these guys were healing the sick, casting out demons. And then when they died, what did Jesus tell them? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you worker of a lawless, your heart. Their hearts were nowhere near him. God uses them, yes. God will use your pastor to accomplish. Even if he mentions John 3:16. And that's the only verse he knows by heart. God can still use that. Don't mean he'll save his soul from hell. Or his family. And that really breaks my heart to say that. Because I got people I know that preaching for a while, if they die, I don't know if they're going to heaven. Because they have a distortion of the gospel. And they embrace darkness in their church with Halloween themes. I just can't get my head around it. If you are in light, how can you celebrate darkness? And Halloween is darkness, and we are supposed to be children of light. I pray today that you get this. I pray that you endured to the end of this sermon. I pray that you go back to the scriptures and look at them. I did slaughter the names of going into the history, a little bit of history on Halloween. But I did spell them out for you. You can go back and I have articles, guys, so you can email me. I can attach you a bunch of articles to read on Halloween, the customs of it, talking about the Druids, the Wicked, the Wiccans, even the Romans, they had practice. And how each of those traditions just trickle down to what we have today, what we would call Halloween, and they all come from paganism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just go into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that whoever may hear this message, God, that they just recognize the importance of not playing around with darkness. Because Satan don't need much of a gap to come into one's life. Especially if one is truly not a child of God, that in our church that truly have not yielded their life, surrender life to God, surrender all. Satan can come into that person's life and create so much oppression, even possession, because they're not protected by God, because they have not given their heart truly to him. And we need to be aware that these practices, even if it's one night of the year, can be detrimental to that one. So if it runs the risk of one person being touched by darkness, why would we even risk it? I don't understand. And of course we pray, Lord, come. We know times will get worse. We pray that you come, Lord. And we pray over those that are on our minds, those that may have been in churches like this, that know and that have called it out and been rejected, that have been smeared. My friend, you did the right thing, because they rejected it, then the blood is no longer on your hands, it's on theirs. And we pray for their souls, because God does not take this lightly. Those men that are in charge of the church supposedly are supposed to be men of God that are centering their life on scripture. They breathe scripture. They live scripture. It's tattooed on their hearts day and night. They cannot get enough of it. They walk in the light, just not on Sunday, but the rest of the week, and as we should too. We are children of light. We are supposed to walk in the light all through the week, all through the months, all through the year. We are supposed to be agents of light. light bearers. God, we pray over those that may be hearing this message and they just don't really like it. We lift them up to you, God, and we pray, Lord, that you penetrate their hearts. You open their eyes to the truth. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, that they truly come to you, that they invest their whole life to the cause of Christ. They recognize the crucifixion and they recognize the resurrection. They recognize that crazy change in us that we don't want nothing to do with the very appearance of evil. It repulses us. It makes us sick. And that we are supposed to be calling these unfruitful works of darkness out to those that are practicing it. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me through this website. If you do reach out, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries on the email. And that if you have questions, you can email me that way. On my Facebook group friend, you can send me a friend request, PM me. Just make sure you reference the this website out. If I get friend requests, I'm hesitant if I don't know you. I'm not probably going to add you on my Facebook group unless you give me some form of information how you found out, why you're sending me a friend request, etc., etc. I'm on Twitter a little bit, Instagram a little bit, not much. But the best way to reach out to me is through Facebook. Send me an email. And some of you guys have my personal phone number so you can text me. I love you guys. I'll have a good rest of your week. If you're listening to this weekend, I hope you're having a good weekend and week. And remember, stand for truth. Call out unfruitful works of darkness. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.